Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and let us consider verse 25. Proverbs 4, at verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And even in ordinary life, it's good to keep our eyes looking in front of us when we are walking along a pavement or wherever. But this is to have, at least in part, a spiritual meaning. And when we're going through this world, we should look straight on ahead of us. Where are we going? And according to where we are going, let us look in that direction. Are we thinking we are going to heaven, for instance? Well, let us be looking heavenwards, in a sense, in a very real sense. And let us be asking for God's blessing as we see the dangers ahead of us, particularly what we see in the light of God's Word. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And that is just expressing in different words the same thing as in the first part of the verse. So what we will try to do as we seek the Lord's help is to notice three main points. First, where not to look. We're not to look at one side of us. We're not to look at the other side of us. Because if that is the case, then we are liable to trip or stumble or whatever it might be. Second, where we must look. Straight ahead. And in the third place, well, perhaps I should say, for the second head, where we must look ahead of us. And that comes to us with emphasis in these words, straight ahead. In the third place, we must look straight on. And remember, it's not a piece of a common sense for this life, for the ordinary affairs of life. Yes, it has a relevance. But the real relevance is in connection with spiritual things. We're to look ahead. We're to look in the right direction. First, where we are not to look. Second, where we are to look. And in particular, we're to look straight on. First then, where not to look. And we must not look at sin. Yes, we must recognize sin where we see it. But we're not to look at sin as if it attracted us. We're not to keep looking at something. You might see someone walking along the road. There are a few people walking along the road and they see a beautiful sunset. And they can hardly take their eyes off it. It's so attractive. Well, that's not the way we're to look at sin. As if it was attractive. As if we were greedy to engage in whatever sin it might be. We're to look away from sin. And that's why we are told at verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. And in an age when communication is easy and when there are so many ways of seeing sin, and when sin in various ways is made attractive, look not on it. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. That's the advice. So when television and streaming on the internet of films, etc., when that is so easy, so convenient, and so much of it is sinful, so much of it is making sin attractive, as if those that are producing these films and other things, no doubt, as if they were saying, come and join me. This is attractive. This is desirable. No. What the word of God tells us is, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyes look in the right direction. That's the thing. And what is the right direction? Well, though that's the second point and also in the third point, still, to say a word or two at this stage is useful, I hope. It's to look at Christ. It's to look in the direction indicated by the word of God. To look away from sin, as I've just said. We're to recognize sin from the word of God. We're to ask the Lord to work in our souls so that it wouldn't be attractive, but that we would hate sin, that we'd turn our heads away from it, or turn away the eyes of our mind from it, that we wouldn't be looking at it, we wouldn't be imagining it as something attractive. We're to avoid it. We're to pass by it. We're to turn from it. And then, you see, there's a matter of temptation. It's the same advice in that connection. Turn from the temptation. Sin very often comes before us by way of temptation. And the devil is an expert at that. He very possibly, Satan was the one that caused all the other all those that are now evil angels, he caused them to fall. He led them into sin. He encouraged them to think ill of God. But what we do really know about is how he came with his temptations first to Eve and then to Adam, and worked through Eve to get at Adam. He came with a question. He asked about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Were they allowed to eat of it? And Eve tried to explain. And then he spoke more positively to Eve, trying to encourage her to take the forbidden fruit. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, she took of the tree. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. You see? She thought that Satan was putting a good idea in her mind, a pleasant idea. There was that fruit. And he's trying to get at her. God is forbidding you to eat of this good fruit that will have such wonderful effects. He was a liar from the beginning, as the Savior says. And when it's temptation to do what is wrong, how will we know what things are wrong? Well, all I'm going to say just now is, let us be soaked in the teachings of the Bible. And then we will be so much prepared to resist temptation, to look away from sin and to look away from temptation to sin. That's what we need. To look away. Yes. Now there's plenty of temptation in this world. There's the temptation of bad example. You have the bad example of ungodly people. Perhaps you have to mix with them at work or in education, for example. But you see, remember what the Bible teaches. Keep going to the Bible. Even if young people would only read a few verses at a time. Still, as the days go by and as the months go by, then you've read a fair portion of the Bible. But read it and think about it as you read it. Try and learn what the Bible is saying. And it's not just the commandments that teach us how to behave. It's not just the commandments that would make us try to avoid temptation. The authority of God's word and his, the authority of God in his commandments. But there's so much of the history. Perhaps I should be saying all of the history. Why is there so much history in the Bible? Well, I'm not going to try to give a complete answer, but what I am going to say is that the Bible gives us a tremendous amount, a tremendous number of examples. Examples of what we should not look at, and examples of what we should look at. We have, for instance, Judas. He wasn't sincere. Very likely for many a day he thought he was all right, though he had every opportunity, having the bag of money, every opportunity to take his cut from it, if you like. He could steal for himself. He could try to make himself a wee bit rich out of what was in it. He was dishonest, but perhaps he was saying to himself, I'm a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, so I'll be all right. He'll take care of me. And he ended up denying his master. Perhaps not ended up, but was close to it. But he ended up in taking his own life. You see, he went from one thing to another. But you see, we need to be looking straight on. Not at what benefit will I get from this in outward things. Perhaps there was some discussion who would carry the bag. And Judas, with his eye on what he might get out of it, he said, I'll take it. I'll look after it. I'll keep it safe. Well, we don't know much about that. But we know he was a thief. And one thing very likely led to another. But he wasn't to look at the bag for that reason. That wasn't looking straight on. That was looking out the side of his eye, will we say, to something that he thought would benefit him. No word about eternity, no word about the judgment seat. Let me get a bit richer than I might otherwise be. All these disciples are not looking at that, he might have said. They're going to be poor all their days, but I'll get a bit rich. I'll have some money for myself. You see, he should have been looking straight on. Yes, let him have the bag. Let him ask for the bag. Though perhaps that would have been a bit suspicious. Unless he would say something like, I'll take it, I'll look after it, and then you'll not have to bother with it. If he had said that, looking straight on, well, and good. But you see, he wasn't looking straight on. And I'm just taking that as one example, and that's what I was speaking about, examples. Examples from other people. And we've got, in one way or another in the Bible, so many examples of those who were acting sinfully. We're to look at that. But at the same time, we're to be looking straight on. We're to be looking at them in the light of God's word. That's looking straight on. Taking the teaching of the word of God. What kind of man was Ahab? Well, he knew something of how he should behave, and sometimes he did behave better than one would have expected. But he married an ungodly wife. He married an idolatrous wife. And of course, Ahab would in any case have been worshipping the gods of Jeroboam, but to worship Baal, that was taking ungodly worship another step further. We're not to look at false religion. We're not to look at the secular philosophies of today. I don't mean philosophy in any academic way, but the way of thinking that people have, think that this world is all that there is, and they can live this life to the full. Well, maybe, maybe. Their hopes may be far larger than the outcome, how things work out. Maybe very different from what their hopes were. Oh, think. Think how you're going to go through this world. And then take another step. Think how you're going to get out of this world and where you're going to go when you leave this world. Think of heaven. We're trying to speak about heaven already today, a little at least. But will we get to heaven? Are we prepared to go to heaven? And if we're not looking straight on, looking to Christ and him crucified, looking to the blessings that there are in the word of God for the sake of Christ, well, where are we going to end up? We're going to end up where Judas ended up in a lost eternity. He went to his own place. Yes. And we have the Savior saying, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Looking somewhere else rather than looking straight on. Straight on in the right way. But no, how many people look this way and that way? Then we get rid of the Bible, so many have said. And so they can't be looking straight on. Let me get away from the worship of God, where you are encouraged to look straight on, to look to Christ, to look to the revelation that there is in the word of God. Yes. What shall it profit a man What will it profit you if you would gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Yes. What profit will there be if you do not look straight on? If you do not take the Bible with you as your guide? Yes. Rather, you should look straight on. Not to one side or the other, but to the right. To the right way. The ways that God has commanded. And so, we might notice the words in the previous chapter at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. Don't rely on the way you would understand things yourself if you leave the Bible behind you. Somebody said to me once, I've got to think things through. Something like that. And he seemed to be absolutely leaning on his own understanding. He would work things out without God's help. He would work things out without direction from the Scripture. But lean not on thine own understanding. People make a great deal of reason. Perhaps it's an out-of-date expression now. Perhaps not altogether. But you see, they wouldn't follow Scripture. They wouldn't follow Christ. They wouldn't follow God unless they could work that out by their own powers of reasoning. They're not going to rely on what God is giving us for our direction. They're not going to rely on that. They're going to think things out themselves. Oh, we're poor creatures if we're going to rely on our own powers of reasoning. Where can you start? Where can you start apart from the one who knows all things? Where can you start apart from the book that tells us everything we need to know about spiritual things? Where can you start? Yes, we need to be submitting. We need to submit to God. We need to submit to his way of thinking, for that is perfect. And that may bring us on, though one thing more before we pass on. The direction of the Savior. Remember Lot's wife. She came out of Sodom, but did she look straight on? She turned back. She looked back to Sodom. Had she looked back just with a tinge of sadness, or a great deal of sadness, that might have been one thing. But clearly, she wanted to be back in Sodom. She wanted to be the friend, perhaps the companion, of all these ungodly people whose company she so much enjoyed, as one might imagine. And you see, that's the thing. So remember Lot's wife, who looked in the wrong direction, who did not look straight on. Yes. But where should we look? That's the second thing. Where we must look. And as I've said already, we must look most of all to Christ. What does he say? Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, even those far away, far away spiritually, far away in sin, especially. And if you are far away from the thinking that I have been warning against, then remember the call of Scripture in our text this evening. Look straight on in front of you. Yes. But wherever you are looking, whatever direction you are looking in, remember this, that the Lord is saying, look unto me. Look unto me as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Look unto me as the one who took sin upon me and went to the dust of death, who died so that sinners might not die eternally, who lived a godly life, who lived an altogether perfect life, so that there would be a righteousness to bestow on sinners. Yes, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Christ is the one who worked out a perfect salvation. Look to him, trust in him, the salvation in him. Look straight before you. Do not look to the one hand or to the other. Do not look to sin in one direction or another. Look straight before you. Look to Christ. Trust in him. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is still in heaven. He is making intercession for sinners. You'll be asking that he would plead the merits of his finished work on your behalf. Yes. Are you asking him? Oh, look straight on and be asking the Lord to do everything for you so that you might escape the wrath to come and lay hold of eternal life. Perhaps we can make an illustration of what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah were with Jesus on the mount, and these three disciples, Peter and James and John, you could say it was a bit much for them. They fell asleep. Was it that the glory of it all was too great? But you see, then they saw no man save Jesus only. That's a good pointer for us. Look straight before us to Christ, to see no one, to look for no one to guide us, to look to no one as our choice to guide us, but to Christ. They saw no one. Moses had gone. Elijah had gone. The only one that was left was Jesus. Yes. Well, that's how it should be with us. That's how we should want it. To see no one. To be our supreme guide. To see no one who we would call master or teacher. Yes. To see no one but Christ. That's how it should be. We read in the previous chapter again, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways look to him, and he shall direct thy paths. Yes, he shall direct thy paths. Oh, do we not need to be directed in all our goings? Do we not need God's direction? Are we thinking of that? When you're thinking what turn to take in life, perhaps, see that you keep your eyes straight before you, spiritually speaking, morally speaking. Who are you going to take as your friend? Who are you going to take as your husband or wife? What are you going to do? Who are you going to make your bosom friend? You ever ask God about these things? He says, in all thy ways acknowledge. And if people had paid attention to that direction, how much sadness they might have avoided. If they had gone to the Lord to ask that he would have chosen a husband if for them or a wife for them, how much better a choice would have been made. It would have been a good choice. If they had asked for God's direction about a particular job, perhaps there was no obvious moral issue in working in that field. But you see, the Lord sees all things. The Lord sees all the difficulties. The Lord sees everything that you need and how you will be kept and how he can provide to keep you from getting involved in sin or sinful practices or getting involved with people who would not be good companions. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look straight on. Look straight to the Lord to direct. Keep asking it in little things and in large things. In the great things of life as well as in the lesser things. Or perhaps I should have said it the other way around, but both are true. Yes. And then, you see Paul, and he is saying, we look not at the things which are, he was looking at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen and temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He was looking at the things which come from above. He was looking to Christ. He was looking for direction. Well, he might have been looking for direction on occasion directly from heaven, but we are to be looking at the direction we find in the Word of God. Yes. There's so much that is not seen. Yes, but that's what's particularly to occupy our minds. The things that are seen are temporal. Yes, we need God's direction in these things. But more, we need God's direction for the things that are not seen. Spiritual things. We need direction from heaven through the Word of God. And what we need is that the Lord would apply to our souls, that the Lord would apply to a particular occasion what he says in the Word of God. Yes, we can learn the parts of the Word of God. We can draw conclusions from them. But we need something more, and that is the Holy Spirit applying the truth to our souls. And the Lord is ready to give that direction. You see, we might feel, we might imagine that it would be, that the Lord would be unwilling to teach us, especially in the little things of life, or what appear to be the little things of life. But we should bring everything before the God, before the Lord. Every morning we should ask to direct our ways, even in the little things of life in that particular day. And certainly we should be asking the Lord to direct us in the great things of life. And he's able to do that. Oh, if we're casting all our cares upon him, if we're coming to him for salvation, then if he grants us salvation, and he will answer the cry of the longing soul, then we should expect to direct us in the great things of life. Yes. See Moses, as he is described in Hebrews 11. He had a choice to make. Would he continue in the palace of Pharaoh with all its ungodliness, with all its false religion? Or would he align himself with the children of Israel, God's people? And what we read in Hebrews is that he chose rather to suffer affliction, difficulty. There was many a difficulty in his high position leading the children of Israel. And that's one thing we feel today, that like leaders of any nation or any people at any time in history, the leaders of this nation have great difficulties, great decisions to make. Questions to which there may be no obvious answer. And in some cases, there should be an obvious answer. Like, for instance, the proposal to legalize assisted dying. Well, in how many cases will it be assistance? Perhaps in all cases, assistance into a lost eternity. Getting there quicker anyway. But you see, one thing that is clear, in the case of the vast majority of those who rule in this country and many other countries, perhaps in every country, it's this: they are not looking right before them. They're not looking ahead of them. They're not looking to Christ. They're not looking to the Bible. They would much rather say or have it said further, we don't do religion. We don't do religion. They would be ashamed to be heard. What would it do for electoral success at the next election if they were clearly taking direction from the Bible and if they were going to pray? Yes. I don't remember it exactly, but I do remember one of the presidents of the United States being ridiculed because he prayed. That's the kind of situation that we're in. Let us look straight before us. Let us look straight before us. Let us look to Christ. Let us look to the Word in our small sphere of influence, perhaps. I've been speaking of those who have a large sphere of influence. What about us in our small sphere of influence? And the answer is exactly the same. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyes look right on. Yes. As we would look in front of us, as we're going along the street, as we should anyway. So, going along the path of life, let our eyes look straight on ahead of us. But I was speaking about Moses and the choice that he made. He could suffer affliction with the children of Israel, or else he could enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, just for a limited time. And if he had made that choice, if he had gone in that direction, then what an awful eternity would have lain before him. But he went with the children of Israel. He went according to the call of God. And you see, he did so because he had respect, because he looked to the recompense of the reward. Perhaps he could just use one word there. He looked to the reward. Yes, there was a reward. Oh, see where he is now. See where Aaron is with him, and Miriam too. And Joshua and Caleb from another generation. They looked straight on. Oh, there were times, no doubt, when they looked a bit away. But, you see, this was the main direction in which they looked. What about us? What about us as we make our way through this world? Yes. Are we looking ahead of us? Are we thinking of eternity? Are we thinking of hell and of heaven? Where will we be? Are we looking to Christ? Are we trusting in him? Are we looking to the Word of God to guide us? Yes. And you see, let us pray, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. As I walk on, looking in the right direction, give me life and more life. But if I'm not walking in the right direction, give me life and grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we must look straight on. And I'm just taking that as emphasis. Let us look in front of us. We've been looking at that. But let us look straight on. You see, let us be fixed on this, that we would look in the direction by God's grace. Yes, and quicken thou me in thy way. Make me alive, give me more life, for Jesus' sake. That's how we would to be thinking. Ah, how dependent we should be. The importance of prayer, you see. Praying for gospel blessing. Praying for direction through all the difficulties of life and all the crookedness of the way as it seems before us. But it's a straight way. I don't just now mean straight in the sense of narrow. But you see, the way to heaven is a straight way. It goes there directly. Though we might wander out of that way to some extent, even if we're the Lord's people. But look straight on. Not being willing to walk out of the way at all, but asking the Lord to keep us. Asking the Lord to guide us. You see, no man, said the Saviour, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Lot's wife looked back. Is there that temptation at affecting those who seem to be in the way of righteousness today to say, if I had stayed where I was, then things would be far easier. That's what the children of Israel were saying. We wouldn't have to experience a lack of water. We wouldn't have to experience lack of food. If we had stayed in Egypt, you see, distance was adding enchantment to the view. Further away they were from the difficulties of Egypt, the more attractive it seemed. Has that happened to anyone here? The further they are away from a sinful lifestyle, the more attractive it seems. Well, if that's the case, let these words come to you with force this evening. Let thine eyes look straight on, not looking back. Yes, the world is under a curse. A sinful lifestyle is under a curse. And all we can say, perhaps not all, but what we should lay stress on is, let thine eyes look straight on. Look to Christ. If you are tempted to feel that the way you are on, the way you think will bring you to heaven, And if you attempted to think that it's not going to be a very good walk at all, there's difficulties. Yes, there's difficulties. The people of God had promised difficulties, but they also promised this: I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, go to him. Look to Christ. He is able to keep you. He is able to lead you in a right direction. He has said to those who are truly his own, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you. A very emphatic expression. Never. Absolutely never is what it amounts to. I will never forsake you. Oh, may the people of God believe that. And whatever difficulties come either way. Yes. See Paul. And what he has to say is this. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. He's looking ahead of him. He's looking straight ahead. He's looking to Christ. I press forward for the prize of the high calling. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press on, looking unto Jesus. I press on with my eyes straight forward. That's Paul. And he got a good reward. All the children of God, all who look straight on, all who look to Christ, they will get a good entrance into heaven. They will get into heaven. Some of them might find it difficult. Some of them might be assaulted by unbelief even on their deathbed. But look straight on. Bear that in mind. Remember what you heard this evening about looking straight on. Though you would forget everything else, remember the counsel of the Word of God. Look straight on. Look to Jesus. You see, that's the call that we find towards the end of Hebrews, that we are to be looking unto Jesus, laying aside everything, every weight. As the runner, that's the picture. As the runner would put aside everything that might weigh him down in trying to get to the finishing line first. Well, though there's no competition on the way to heaven, though the Christian runner, spiritually speaking, it's not that we get to heaven ahead of everyone else. It's not that we would get to heaven in better shape than anyone else. It's this, that as far as he is concerned, it's a race against himself, perhaps I could say, that he would lay aside every sin that would weigh him down, every look in the wrong direction. Yes, every look in the wrong direction weighs the believer down and running the race. Yes, but let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher. You see, we might lay considerable emphasis on Christ as the author of faith, the beginner of faith. Yes. And the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's right. But let us look to him as the finisher of faith, the finisher of the Christian experience, the finisher of the work of grace in the soul. Yes. And so we're to go on looking unto Jesus. We're to have our eyes right before us, as far as being kept in the way and as far as continuing in the way is concerned. Yes. And you see, the psalmist in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I am looking to one side or the other, if I am not looking straight on, looking unto Jesus, then the Lord will not hear me. But oh, you see, you can ask, Lord, hear me. But take a step further back and say, Lord, keep me from looking to the right or to the left. Keep me from being attracted by sin. Keep me from being led astray by temptation. Keep grace alive in my soul. And if there's no life, put that life in me. Yes. Draw me so that I might look to Christ Jesus. Yes. See, in verse 5 in chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord, yes. We might be thankful if we have a little degree of trust. But it comes to this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We're to be wholehearted. And we can get the beginning of that from the Lord himself. And we can get every further degree of that trust. Yes, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and look not to thine own understanding. And my eye just catches verse 13 in that chapter. Happy or blessed is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. The person that is wise to seek the Lord, to call upon him while he is near, to look to Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners, and to go on looking to Christ as the one who is the finisher of the faith of his people. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord. Hear us graciously and love us freely. May we feel the power of thy word. Each of us, every one of us, even young ones, may they listen to thee. Grant thy blessing. Do thou remember us in infinite mercy on our way to eternity. Oh, may we feel the authority of thy word, and may we flee from the wrath to come. Take care of us through this night, and if we have any serious thoughts, keep them running in our minds. And may we come to thee with them and ask thee to bless us. Oh, do not leave us to ourselves. Save us from carelessness. Bless the truth of the gospel to our souls. And make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Deliver us from the wrath to come. May we lay hold of eternal life. May our eyes look right on. Give us thy blessing. Wash away our sin. Take us by the hand and bring us safely through life. And grant to lay hold of multitudes. Spread the gospel everywhere. Do wonderful things. Be thou our God and guide forever. For Jesus' sake, amen.